So thank you so much for joining us at Hospital Radio today to talk about the Norwich City Community Sports Foundation. Can we get started by finding out what your role is with the foundation, please?
Absolutely. So my name's Tom Bardwell-Doughty and I'm the Community Project Manager at the Community Sports Foundation, Norwich City.
So lots of people have heard of Norwich City Football Club, but they might not have heard of the Sports Foundation attached. Could you tell us all about it, please?
Yeah, definitely. So the Community Sports Foundation is essentially the charity arm of Norwich City Football Club. We share the badge, which is a very recognisable thing in the community and very recognisable across Norfolk. We help with underserved communities, whether it be offering mental health support, physical health support, as well as all the football things that we do on the other side. So it's not just football that we do. There's a lot of community outreach, volunteer work, fundraising events that we do year round.
So we're going to talk about some of those in a bit more detail soon. But before we do, could you tell us about how the relationship with the football club helps you in the community?
As I said there, the power of the badge, everyone in Norfolk has some sort of connection to Norwich City, whether it be their grandparents used to go to games or whether they go to games themselves, or they've been involved in the academy, the development centres with the foundation. So it really means a lot to us as a charity to be attached to Norwich City as a football club. Unfortunately, the finances don't quite cross over, as some people might think. We are a standalone charity. If Norwich City were to go bankrupt tomorrow, we would continue to make our impact in the community. But yeah, we've created nearly £8 million worth of social value in the last 12 months, and we've continued to do that year on year for the past nearly 25 years now, and it has gained traction year on year. More and more fans are hearing about us through the work that we do, not just on a match day, but during the week as well. So we're engaging more and more people every single day.
So you've talked about the activities that you do in the community. Could you tell us about those activities? What does the foundation get involved in?
Sure. So it's not just the general football that everyone might think when they see the Norwich City badge. We have a fantastic dementia support group called Duncan's Club that has been going for nearly 4 years now, and we've impacted nearly 150 patients or participants over that time. We're now working on getting that out on the road. So we've got a partnership now with Norse, who's one of our main sponsors, and Norse Care have a collection of Alzheimer's specific care homes that we'll be going out to and delivering our sessions out in their care home. As well as this, we've got our Parkinson's walking football, which is hugely beneficial to so many. We've got around 20 signed up each week. So again, that's not just the football outside, but we use our wellbeing box up at the Nest to really kind of simulate those functional movements that one might do at home. So whether that be reaching up into the cupboard for a cup of coffee, we're igniting those movements and those everyday movements so that they can continue to be active at home. Yeah, as well as this, we've got our extra time group, which is our over 55s physical and social group. They've been going for 16 years. Really strong. They'll have guest speakers come in the social, whether it range from ex-Norwich footballers to Age UK to various photographers, bands. Yeah, we try to keep them entertained with all things not just football.
Did you mention a wellbeing box?
Yes, so the Nest, for those of you that are lucky enough to have been to the Nest, we've recently added a shop and a wellbeing box, kind of like a mini gym essentially, but we've got an interactive wall on there as well, so when we have sports tours come and stay with us, they can use the interactive wall. We use it for our Parkinson's sessions as well. It's very much like throwing dodgeball at a wall and hitting targets and things like that. So again, it's that low-level movement, but in a safe environment, safe space.
Sounds quite fun.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
So you mentioned the wellbeing side of things there. Could you tell us more about that? Because I think probably people think about sports and think about the physical benefits, but they might not think so much about the wellbeing side of things.
Yeah, it's a massive part of what we do, and the major success stories really come from that aspect of it. So it's not just turning up and doing the physical exercise itself. It's the doing the physical exercise and the benefit that has on your mental health. So we've got the young lady called Charlie. She moved to the Norfolk area and was, I'm sure she went mum saying, in a bit of a bad mental state herself. She joined our Run For Me, our social running group, which is completely free provision. She said to herself she was quite unfit at the time, and that's what was affecting her mental health. She recently took on a challenge that she took on herself of running 7 marathons in 7 days. So a year ago, she would never have been able to do that. And I think the real key part of that is the support that she had from the fellow runners. So that group at the Nest is maybe 25 strong. We've got another one at Carrow Park, which is again 20 strong, but the support that she got mentally from all of her peers at those running groups was just, yeah, phenomenal.
That's a crazy ambition. I've run one marathon, yeah. and that was plenty. Yeah.
I've done a half and never again. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea of doing seven
to 7 days. Yeah.
Wow.
Hugely inspiring, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope she got some good rest.
I gave her a week off. Yeah, gave her a week off when we came back. But no, she was straight back at the session as she was walking around. And yeah, I think she had some tired legs, but definitely felt better in mentally for doing it.
Yeah, that's incredible. Wow. So I was going to ask you if there were any stories that have really stuck with you from the people that you've seen through your involvement at the foundation. I don't know if you've got any that could beat somebody running 7 marathons in 7 days, but do you have any other kind of stories that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, I'm very lucky in my role that as the community project manager, I get to go out to all my community groups and got to see them in action. Charlie's just one story from one of my running programs. There's another lady called Claire who is from another of my running programs who, very similar story, was not able to run, was in a quite bad mental state, and she then took part in Run Norwich because she took part in our Race Ready program, which is a 10-week program that gets people ready for Run Norwich. So they might have got themselves a place, been lucky enough to get themselves a space, and then gone, oh no, I'm actually not ready for this. So we set up a 10-week program with Paul Evans, who's a former Great British Olympian athlete and winner of the Boston Marathon in 1993, quite a while ago, but just to offer that kind of mental support, those tips for race day. So Claire got through Run Norwich in her personal best time as well. So that's a nice little another success story that's come off one of our free running groups. There's a gentleman called Daniel who attends one of our walking football groups as well. So Daniel's got quite a few challenges. He's mute, but he comes along, and the sessions are accessible for all kinds of people, any genders, any ages. The Nest is a welcoming home for them. It's really that group community spirit as well. So they come up here, we put an arm around him, and he's now taking part in not just our walking football sessions, but he comes to our running sessions. He comes and volunteers at our Duncan's Club session, and he's really coming out of his shell. So that's another fantastic journey that Daniel's been on with the foundation just by turning up one day. And you know, what can we do for him? There's so many avenues that we can show him down, and like we said, put an arm around him. And yeah, that's a really positive story from Daniel.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. If somebody has never been for a run before or never kicked a football, would they be welcome at these sessions?
Definitely, yeah. The main work we do is to help underserved communities, and whether that be people who haven't, like you said, ever laced up a pair of running shoes or ever kicked a ball before. You don't need to be a good footballer to come to the Nest. There's so many groups that we have, whether it be Play and Eat, which is an initiative for families who are quite hard up, so they can come along and play on the Challenge Woods or play on the pitch with their parents for just £2 and be fed. Small initiatives like that, from beginners to very good, well-seasoned runners and footballers, we can cater to pretty much everyone up at the Nest and at Carrow Road.
Obviously, our audience here are mostly patients at the hospital, so they're probably not feeling like they'd kind of like to spring out of bed and play a match of football right now. But is there anything that they could do as they start their recovery, as they kind of go back home?
Yeah, I think, like I said. I think it's a case of having a look at the website and seeing what fits them, seeing what they feel comfortable and what attracts them. There's nothing we do that is not catered to the individual. So it wouldn't be a case of turn up and, oh, we're expecting you to do 10 laps of the pitch, otherwise you can't join. That's never been the case. We're a very inclusive environment. All our programs are very inclusive, from our Fresh Start refugee program, where we're welcoming over 50 participants on a weekly basis now and giving them a safe space to play football, right the way to the other end for our young carers program, which is quite a new initiative, really puts that wraparound care around our young carers and gives them a bit of respite from the challenges that they face every day.
If somebody isn't really sporty at all, would they be able to find something for them?
Yeah, for sure. All the fundraising events that we do, very few of them are linked to football. So obviously we've got our Run Norwich, which is our kind of flagship event, but we have our Race Against the Sun, got a Canary Ball Rally. So there's a lot of fundraising and volunteering. There's a lady called Nicole who joined us as a volunteer, her father had dementia, or has dementia. So she came up to Duncan's Club one day, brought her father to it. Since then has been involved in volunteering on Duncan's Club. She's taken part in walking football tournament. Her husband Chris has also come up and got involved and started volunteering. Both her daughters are involved in the ADC and PDC groups. Her son is involved in the disability group. So it's really just turning up that one day. She's then been able to find an activity for her husband and all three of her children up at the Nest. So it's a real family day out for them, but they're all doing different things and different activities, and it's all good for their own personal mental health. That's the main thing.
You've mentioned so many different things that are going on at the moment, but is there anything coming up that you'd like to make people aware of? Anything in particular, anything special that's coming on the horizon?
Well, summer is our fundraising season, so all of our fundraising events tend to happen over the summer. As I mentioned there, Race Against the Sun, where They'll start a walk on the Norfolk coast when the sun comes up, and they'll walk until the sun goes down, and they'll chase along the sun. So that's a really big event that's coming up. Our Run Norwich event, which is going to be absolutely massive this year. So welcoming nearly 10,000 runners to the streets of Norwich. So that's going to happen this year, but places sold out within half an hour. So that's a really popular thing. But we'd always encourage people to come down and cheer them on and support from the side. It's a really fun day. It'll be my fourth Run Norwich now that I've spectated and volunteered on. We're always looking for volunteers to help us as well. As you can imagine, shutting the whole city down takes quite a lot of bodies to do and upsets a few people as well. So we're always looking for people to come down and support the event. We'll always have a lot of CSF presence on the day, so you can find out more about the other weekly courses that we do.
What kind of things could volunteers do to support Run Norwich?
So much. So I think we had over 250 volunteers last year. So from literally putting out the barriers and the cones in the morning, to handing out waters, handing out medals, being in the race village, coordinating the young people for Junior Run Norwich. There's lots of roles, hence the need for so many volunteers.
Do people need to be volunteering with you regularly, or can they just help out on the day?
No, not at all. So we have an initiative called My Club, which was set up with support from the EFL, which helped us start our volunteer base. We always had some kind of casual volunteers on weekly programs, but this really shot it into the limelight. There's a couple of ladies who I know very well. They're in my sector at Run Norwich, and they volunteer just on Run Norwich each year. A couple of the others, they volunteer on my Duncan's Club, at my Coffee and Comrades session, as well as Run Norwich. So they've really filled up their diaries with some volunteering. But what I've noticed is it's the opportunities that come off the back of that. And I'd recommend to any young person, especially, if a great way into making connections and part-time work is by offering to volunteer. The amount of young volunteers we've taken on who have then become seasonal coaches or paid staff, it's a really good pathway into working for the foundation. And there's a couple in the workforce that started off volunteering at Run Norwich, and then they'll volunteer on a weekly basis, and then a position comes available, and yes, we know this person, they're a great person in the community already. And so there's a real nice pathway for people who are looking to get into volunteering and work.
Well, that's great, because I know it can sometimes be difficult for young people to find volunteering, and obviously anything that can help people on the path to a great career that they're passionate about has got to be positive.
Well, there's a young lady called Skye who's our community captain of the year. So I first met Skye when she was 15 with her friends Harry and Adam at our local Premier League Kicks free football sessions. Skye was just so receptive to, she's a massive Norwich City fan anyway, so receptive to anything that we kind of offered and tried to put out for her, whether that be come and help us do a stadium tour, or would you like to be on the PL Kicks ambassadorship? She had that yes attitude. She's now working in the office. So we met her 4 years ago playing football on a mugger. Just outside, we got her onto the PL Kicks ambassadorship. She then got enrolled into our further education program. So CSF also do a further education program for 16 to 18 year olds, essentially A levels. So we prep them whether that they will then want to go on to university, whether they want to get a role in football. But it's a mix of on the pitch and off the pitch as well. So we give them that experience. And I'm sure Skye will tell you herself, she's not the greatest footballer, but she took to it like a duck to water. And being a female in a male heavy course as well, she absolutely flourished in it, and then was offered part-time work with us. She's one of the ball collectors at every home game. She comes and helps on the support hub, and it's just having that yes attitude has now got her into work. So we've got her through her education, her further education, and now got her into paid work. So yeah, there's so many opportunities for young people to start off with us in that way and then follow Skye's path.
If somebody's thinking, wow, that sounds absolutely amazing, how would they find out about those opportunities?
So again, it's just, it's just visiting our website. It's getting in contact. Well, have a look at some of the courses that we do, the contacts for each course. So for Duncan's Club, for example, my email's on there. And it's just about, going on, finding out some of the stuff we do, some of the things you might be interested in. We had a gentleman recently who was very interested in volunteering on our disability programs, and a similar thing. He now volunteers and he's now in part-time work coaching on our disability programs. So go to our website. There's a search finder there. So if you're interested in helping on our dementia group, just type in dementia. You can find out more information or contact details on there.
You just mentioned the disability programs, which reminded me that I was really keen to ask you about the power chair football.
Yes.
Does it look quite interesting on your website? I'd love to hear about that.
So I was fortunate enough to have a go in one of the chairs because I had to transport them. They are very difficult to drive. It's like driving a forklift truck. It's all rear wheel drive, but it's super fun. It's super fun for the guys. They go up to Nottingham and they have their fixtures probably once every couple of months. We have some players like Jack Stacey who's come down to volunteer on one of the power chair sessions as well. There's a great news story on our website about when a couple of players came down. It's a super program run by James Fish, our disability manager. So again, just go online, get in contact, search power chair, and you'll find out everything you need to know on there.
Could you describe for our audience what it looks like? Because I've been lucky enough to see a photo. But
I don't want to say mini go-karts, but they almost are. And they whiz around, and then it's the way to hit the ball is you spin around in kind of a semicircle, and that's how you gain traction, almost like a swinging foot. But you use the front of the chair, which has kind of metal guards around the front, to hit the ball. It's very difficult. It takes you can just get in a chair and do it. Any able-bodied person would really struggle to do it. But yeah, some of the skills that they have over time. There's a young lad, I think his name's Henry, and he's 11, and he plays in our power chair football team, and they go nationally around the country, and they're in the top division of power chair football, and he's 11 years old. Yeah, it's an incredible story.
Wow, you've got so many inspiring stories. Yes, I feel like I should be doing more with my life.
No, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky in the role I have to be able to see these stories and actually see them come to life and see that they happen every single day. I'm sure if you got someone else in from a different department as well, they could tell you an equal amount of success stories of girls that have engaged with us who had never kicked a ball and now they're in the Elite Development Centre and things like that, or they're inspired by the Lionesses and all of a sudden they've really got into their football, and we've championed it, and we're a big champion of women's football and girls football at CSF as well. We've had great success with our development centre teams nationally as well, so it really is just to come and find out, and we'll find a home for you.
Have you seen more girls and women wanting to get involved because of all the success of the Lionesses?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very fortunate that there's a ladies player called Lauren Hemp as well, is local, and she came back to unveil the opening of our new 3G as well, and she stays connected with CSF. So she came through the pathway as a player. She used to play up the Nest at 9-10 years old. There's pictures of her everywhere in her Norwich kit, and now she's playing the Euros final and scoring goals for England. So there's that real life example of it can be done, it has been done, why can't you be the next one to do it? The success that Norwich City women are having as well has increased. They've really turned into a more professional setup over the last few years, thanks to their general manager, Flo Allen, as well. So, yeah, the pathways we've got, and every time that they'll have a home game at Carrow Road, we put on a match day experience for the girls. So we'll get some of the players to come over to Carrow Park and take part in some football with them. So it's almost meeting their heroes. But it's such a small thing to do, but it means such a big amount to them.
Yeah, not even imagine how inspired I'd be to actually meet someone who's had so much success.
So nice. And we've got some of the players in our workforce as well. So Millie Davis, who has now moved on to UEA, Freya Simmons. So they're in the office every day. They're just normal people to us, but they're minor celebrities to some of the girls that they see and that they coach. So yeah, it is really inspiring for them.
We're coming to the end of our time together. So you've mentioned a few times how people can get in touch if they want to get involved. But if somebody's just curious to find out what's happening, is there a way that people can stay up to date?
Yeah, definitely. So we're across all social platforms at Norwich City CSF, whether that be Facebook, Instagram, X, a thing called TikTok, which I'm not familiar with for the younger generation. But yeah, follow Norwich City CSF. There's constant updates that go out on there. Some of the success stories that I've spoken about today, and all our events that are upcoming as well. So yeah, just follow us on socials or visit our website and find out more.
Thank you so much for your time for joining us today.
Thank you very much.